Every week we try to spend a few minutes talking about Bible prophecy. We are futurists. That means we believe all of the unfulfilled Bible prophecies will be fulfilled. And so that being the case, we should be able to see trends or movements or news items that go along with some of those prophetic insights. Things like biometrics and artificial intelligence, cashless commerce, the manipulation of human DNA, global government, instantaneous global communication, the movement to build a temple on the Mount in Jerusalem. These are all things that the Bible talks about at length. And one by one, we've seen them kind of come to the surface. And though we're not saying any of those is the mark of the beast or a definite fulfillment of prophecy, you can certainly see how they could be if God decided to rapture the church today and get on with the Great Tribulation. Now, one of the Lord's well-known teachings we call the Olivet Discourse. In his overview of the 7 years on earth after the resurrection and rapture of the church and before his second coming, he said, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the in the days before the flood, rather, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark." Who's going to be getting married while the whole world is collapsing? Well, the days of Noah are described in the 6th chapter of Genesis. A major reveal is that, and I quote, "The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." The sons of God are fallen angels. They were having children with human women, producing a race of giants called Nephilim. Now, if you study or get commentaries or whatnot, you're going to see that there's some other interpretations that are less supernatural. And, you know, I think that's one of the problems is a lot of people don't like to admit that the Bible is a supernatural book, believe it or not. And so how do we decide? Well, I don't know if this makes the decision, but here's how I'm coming to learn some things lately. Fragments of something called the Book of the Giants were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Here's a relevant quote from that book, or that scroll. "The angels defiled their women, who begot giants and monsters. The entire earth was corrupted by this blood and by the hand of the giants who devoured much flesh. What the giants did not eat, monsters attacked." And so it sounds fantastic, but you have to understand the church for centuries believed this, taught this, and then kind of in our modern era when we rationalize everything, we say, well, maybe these sons of God were just an evil kind of lineage of mankind. But then, well, how do you get to monsters and giants through that? Well, you don't. And so you can go back into these genuine fragments and say, huh, this is what they believed, and there's no reason not to. And then people say, well, a lot of that was, you know, falsified, or how do we trust it? The Bible points to at least 24 extra-biblical books, the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, the Book of Gad the prophet, it goes on and on. And it says, hey, there's more of the story in these other books if you want to follow it. The books themselves admit they are not inspired scripture, but they certainly give an accurate history. Otherwise, the Bible writer, the Holy Spirit, would not recommend that we read them. And so anyway, these are fallen angels, about 200 of them, who come down and they begin to try to corrupt the human race through these offspring. And they also start messing around with human DNA by doing experiments because they're trying to contaminate the race and obviously destroy God's plan. We, therefore, because of all of that, interpret modern genetic manipulation like gene editing or chromosome splicing or cloning or what they call transhumanism. We consider that similar end times effort to contaminate the human race. And so when we see that happening, we know that we're in the end times. So you may have seen the news. The article was titled, "Scientists Perform World's First De-Extinction to Revive What? The Dire Wolf." that vanished 12,000 years ago. The CEO and founder of Colossal Bioscience, Ben Lamb, said in a statement, "Our team took DNA from a 13,000-year-old tooth and a 72,000-year-old skull and made healthy dire wolf puppies." Now, their numbers are probably off in terms of what we believe about creation, but essentially they did a Jurassic Park here, for real, where they took this DNA and all, and they have created, or not created, they have brought forth genuine dire wolves. The dire wolf I was reading this morning, it's the most common fossil in the La Brea tar pits. It is a big wolf that stands about 40 inches tall and can weigh about 150 pounds. And so I don't think they'll be selling them as pets anytime soon. But they are super cute. You can see them online. I mean, they didn't just give birth to them and then now they're dead because they have genetic fallacies. I mean, they're really, really cute, all white, barking. And in about 2 weeks, they're going to be able to kill their maker, you know, and stuff. So, meanwhile, Made in China is taking on new meaning. Ben Lamb, the same guy, was Joe Rogan's guest on episode 2031 of the Joe Rogan Experience. According to him, China has already created genetically modified children. And so they've been experimenting on children, and they've modified them. This is called transhumanism, when you make them different from or more than human. As it was in the days of Noah, genetic tampering, and you can actually read about it now in the Book of the Giants. If you want to do more research into this, go to a website called BibleFacts.com, or .org, rather, BibleFacts.org. And so this is what was happening then, and this is what is happening now. Now, Jesus promised the church, if you're a Christian, that he would come for you before the Great Tribulation. We call it the rapture, but it's really him coming to resurrect the dead in Christ and then rapturing living believers. We are in heaven, according to Revelation 3:10, the entire time of the tribulation, and then we will come back with Jesus after those 7 years to help him establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. Are you ready for the rapture? If not, get ready, stay ready, and keep looking up, because ready or not, Jesus is coming.